Yeah, this is Dean.
Hey, it's me. This guy from L.A., Barry Egan. He's calling on the other line. He's saying all this stuff. He wants to talk to a supervisor or whatever.
What'd you say?
Nothing.
I put him through.
No, this is bad. Something
shut
must
up.
Have happened.
Will you shut up?
Okay, sexy. I'm gonna connect you with my supervisor now.
You're in trouble, honey.
Who's this?
Hello, sir. My name's Barry Egan. I called your service the other night.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, what's that?
I said calm down and shut the fuck up. What's the problem?
The problem is, if you give me a chance to explain, one of your employees, that girl who I was just speaking with, has been threatening me, and four blonde gentlemen just attacked me and smashed my car and hurt my girl.
All right, go fuck yourself. That shit has nothing to do with me. All right, I run a legitimate business here.
Listen to me. What's your name, sir? Answer me!
What's your name, asshole?
I'm Barry Egan!
How do I know? You could be anybody,
you're a bad person. You have no right taking people's confidence in your service. You understand me, sir?
You're sick.
No. Shut up! Shut the fuck up!
You have no right to take people's trust.
Shut up! Will you shut up? Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Now! Are you threatening me, Dick?
Why don't you... You go fuck yourself!
Oi. Fuck! Did you just say, go fuck myself?
Yes, I did.
That wasn't good! You're dead!
I am the walrus.
That's a...
Shut the fuck up, Donnie!
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Do something about this immediately! Harumph! 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 Harumph!
What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
You are now listening to Cinema Thrust Officer.
All right, here we go. Episode 117 of Cinema Crespity. So, excuse me, I'm your host, Chris Crespo. One more time for you. I'm feeling it. Feeling good. It is Easter Sunday. Again, funny how it happens. Another Easter Sunday episode. These Easter Sundays always land on a Sunday. It's weird.
Yeah, it is kind of strange the way that happens.
Very strange.
No. It seems like it's fixed.
Yeah, it's like it's rigged. The game is rigged against us. Almost. We always got to do this on an Easter now. Hey, not our fault. We didn't call it. Hang out with me is Drew Cogrounds again, Andrew.
What up, bro? Happy Zombie Jesus Day.
Happy Zombie Jesus Day. I had an idea today. Talking on the phone with my mom, I had an idea. Everyone for Easter should plan ahead. Get a ham around Christmas.
Okay.
And then put it in like the freezer.
Uh-huh.
And then Easter Sunday.
Resurrect it.
You put it in a... You keep it in like a tomb-shaped freezer with a big boulder in front of it. Then on Easter Sunday, you roll the tomb, the ball away, reach in, and you pull out the ham. Then you cook it. And then you tie the holidays together. Christmas is the birth. Easter is the... Right? Doesn't that make sense? No?
It does.
Not I agree.
Really?
I mean, you could I could see where you're going. I can see where you're going.
So we're putting Jesus into his tomb on his birthday, and we don't let him out until Easter.
You can keep him in the freezer for I'm talking about just so it doesn't spoil or nothing. Keep it in the freezer. Then on Good Friday, you can put it in the tomb. I have a tomb set up on Good Friday.
Let it thaw.
So it's refrigerated. you can add it to a marinade on Saturday, the day between.
You
marinate.
But you can't open the tomb.
Marinate the Jesus ham.
It's got to be a tomb marinade if you want to do it right.
Tomb marinade. Okay, you just do a tomb marinade for 3 days. But then it's all about rolling away the boulder.
That's the main key.
That's the key.
Because all the specifics around that, he's like, F that shit.
I mean, hey, some people
and
like
afterwards,
different flavored.
Well, I mean, are we going to eat the ham or are we going to literally watch it ascend into the heavens later?
The tomb could be a smoker. You could smoke that ham if you want.
If nobody has created a tomb smoker, some super religious church out there that then rolls back this boulder on that day and they have hams galore.
Smoke Jesus? Is that what's going on? Are we smoking Jesus for a couple days now? Is that what's going on here?
We're smoking the Jesus ham. Don't get sacrilegious about this now.
It's going to be sacrilegious.
It's sacrilegious.
Sacrilegious. That's beautiful.
It is.
That's what's going to be. Hanging out with us. I got it. This is rude. Let me introduce our guest, sir. This is returning your third time, I think.
Is it my third time?
I think so.
Second or third?
Second or third. We'll check the records on that one.
Check the record book.
Coming back from Answer Pants on Rampant Radio is Chico.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming back on, man. We appreciate it.
I am like a religious being Easter Sunday, listener of you guys, man, because I'm such, like, I use you guys to figure out what to watch on Netflix.
Oh, word. Thank you very much.
I will literally, if I haven't listened to an episode, I will skip through the episode quickly if I need to find something on
just
Netflix.
Yeah.
Where's the Netflix pick?
Well, now you're here to help us with that one for sure.
Yes.
We'll have that set up. Actually, you know what? I mean, everyone knows what we're doing. Let me get this thing over here. Everyone knows what we're doing. It's the same thing over here. So go ahead. Use that Crespity Serenomizer 9000 while I get this going here. Oh, here it is. All right.
For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix pick of the week. The Netflix instant pick of the week.
That's right. In case you couldn't tell, Netflix instant pick of the week time. You can go back to each episode and it's always like within the first 10 minutes, find out what the week's pick is. Or you can go to chriscrespo.com. Right there on the side, it says Netflix picks. You can click on that. And there's like 3 years worth of picks. So the picks go back so far now because I started doing SBK Live. And I was keeping track of them since then. The movies have come up, gone down, over and
awesome
over.
About it. I love it. Like, I'm still, some of them, I think last time I was here, it was The Master. That I was supposed to watch The Master.
That was actually...
Was that the pick?
I believe that was... I don't know if that was... Was that the pick? That
might have just come out at that time.
I don't know if it came back around.
We recently just had The Master.
The Master was just Netflix pick a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
I don't know if maybe it wasn't the pick. Maybe it was like an assignment that I needed to watch it because I can't stand Joaquin Phoenix.
Maybe it was just an assignment.
And you have to try The Master. If you don't like this guy, try The Master.
That's because we're also talking about her.
Yes, what it was. Yeah,
it tied into that conversation.
Yes. And I still can't finish that stupid damn movie.
It was the Netflix pick a couple weeks ago. I was even talking about how this one's not for everyone. It's a very arty movie.
It is, even
for P.T. Anderson. It's
what
an
I'm
arty
getting
movie.
From it is that he's just a drunk and has to drink everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
I seriously can't get through it. Like, I'll watch it, and I'm forcing myself to watch it.
Uh-huh. Well, that's never good.
Well, it's I'm trying.
I mean, if it's not connecting with you in such a way that you're like,
I'm interested in it, but not enough where when I'm watching it, I'm not like, you know, I could be playing Grand Theft Auto right now.
Yeah.
That is how I feel when I started reading American Sniper, because the movie was super popular. It was a pretty good movie. Yeah. So I was like, I want to read the memoir from Chris Kyle. What's his name? 30 pages into this 200 something page book, very short book that I should have read in a couple of days.
Yeah.
30 pages in, I'm like, oh my God, slogging through this page by page. This is so poorly written. I'm hating this, and I haven't finished it yet. And I want to finish it because I'm interested,
right.
But it's a slog, man.
You've
it's,
gotta
it's,
feel it.
It's not connecting with me, so I know exactly.
I'm only up to the part, not to give away anything, but where
it's been out for a while.
They get put in jail, where they raid the house and they take them to jail.
You're pretty far into it. You are.
But every time, like, I keep end up Googling everything from the movie. Like, every time he makes some kind of concoction, I'm like, can you really do that?
Can you get drunk on that shit?
Can I really get some fertilizer stuff from my backyard and make some liquor?
That is some high functioning alcoholism there.
Yeah,
I'd say if you're that far into movie, they already arrested, he smashed the toilet and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Exactly.
If you get that far, you're like, I can't do this anymore.
You're fine. It's okay.
You get it. It's, nothing's going to happen from that point forward that's going to make you be like, oh, now the whole movie.
That's what I was wondering. I'm like, does this guy's life get any better?
No.
You know,
does it just end?
It just ends. Yeah.
See, and that's disappointing now. Now I'm disappointed because I wanted to go more into this, you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman's character and that whole thing that they have going on. I wanted to get deeper into that.
I was hoping for that too.
Yeah.
And it was more just like a relationship between the characters as opposed to like really getting into the whole like cult aspect and the group aspect. I think there was just definitely, especially when it was tied to Scientology, there's definitely an expectations thing with that movie that then didn't get met. And oftentimes I'm fine with my expectations being, you know, subverted on me or whatever. Okay. Like, oh, okay, you got me. But I can see how this one would be like, eh.
Yeah, I was just wanting it to do something.
I do like the movie, but again, I would, if someone's like, fuck that movie, I won't be like, hey, you're wrong. I'm like, okay, fine.
Nice.
I get it. It's cool. But this week, what is this week's Netflix pick of the week? Do we already say? We already got. We didn't even say it yet. We went on a dissertation about the Masters. All right, go ahead.
Well, it's if this is not the movie I'm thinking of, then this has got to be something very religious also. But I'm pretty sure it's what I'm thinking of. It's Three Kings.
Oh, yes. That is the very religious Three Kings. No,
I wasn't sure if there is another movie called Three Kings that has three guys riding on different animals to go visit a little baby.
It's about a Three Kings Day when all the people that leave the grass and the water under your bed, the kids.
Oh, yeah. And Ice Cube's there.
Yeah.
Ice Cube, George Clooney, and Mark Wahlberg.
Ice Cube shows up and he takes the grass and he swaps it out with a comic book. Three Kings, crazy movie. David O. Russell, who is now known for being the guy who did... The Fighter, Silver Linings Playbook, and what else did he do? Oh, American Hustle. Yeah. American Hustle. I knew there was
American Hustle, too. I didn't know that.
He directed all those.
Nice.
Yeah. And did you see I Heart Huckabees? I love that movie.
I did not.
Oh, no. So great.
Very pretentious movie about nothingness and somethingness. And
it's an existential comedy,
It's an
Chris.
Existential comedy, and it's very, very silly.
I have to
also
mid-show.
Has Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, also
I have to mid-show do what I do when I'm listening is add this to Netflix.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is what always happens. I'm listening to you guys.
It's
get a
not on Netflix
phone.
Right now.
Oh, well, screw it then.
No, but it pops up every now and then. But David Russell, crazy director. This is his Gulf War heist movie, with Spike Jones is in it, which is weird, right? George Clooney, when he was still in ER at this point? Late 90s, I think.
It was.
Yeah?
I think it was still in ER, after ER.
Right at the end there. It was like he was taking off.
He was
still
that
TV guy.
He's starting to make more movies, so he's headed off.
I think this was post Peacemaker. Peacemaker. The Peacemaker?
The Peacemaker.
The one with Nicole Kidman?
Yeah. Okay.
I think it was right after that. But before Out of Sight?
Probably.
Right around that time period. That's a weird time where Clooney was like just breaking out. Not many people can break out from TV to movies like that and become a fucking legit movie star.
What happened with George Clooney? Where he went, I think after Oh Brother, We're Out Thou, now he plays that same quirky character that he was in Oh Brother, We're Out Thou.
Well, for Coen Brothers, yeah.
In everything.
Yeah. He does the mugging.
I haven't seen anything where he's gone.
He has his acting quirks. Even when he does serious movies, he has the same kind of head nod, head bobbing thing and like at this point thing, he definitely has the certain way that he acts.
Right.
So you just have to use it in the right scenario.
Yeah, I love Oh Brother, We're Out Thou. That's such a great film too.
And then he did that kind of thing again with The Burn After Reading.
Yeah.
When he was a big doofus. And they're doing it again with this Hail Caesar movie.
Yeah.
The Coen brothers, I guarantee he's gonna play an idiot in that one.
Again.
Of course, yeah.
He plays a good idiot, surprisingly.
Yeah. He looks like he has fun doing it.
Yeah.
Right. And this one though, he's super suave in charge. Ice Cube is more. No, he's not. Mark Wahlberg, he's a bit of a dummy. I guess Spike Jonze is the idiot character.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's like the southern boy. Mm-hmm. He's like, yo, guys, what's going on over here? This isn't bigotry. It's a crazy movie, right? I like the part where the more inventive stuff, like when they talk about what happens when a bullet hits the body.
It goes in and it shows.
And it's like a weird claymation thing of the lungs and stuff. Uh-huh. Like, that's super, super cool. It's a lot of fun. And then it plays into later when he gets hit. And he got to get the valve in there. And Mark Wahlberg's walking around with the valve all the time to let out the air.
Is that one of the most overdone, like, little scenes in movies where they always have to do the air valve thing? Like if it's a...
Oh, some sort of tracheotomy.
Yeah, it's done a lot. I feel like it's that same. And it's very good for a film.
It's very dramatic.
There's a lot of drama that goes to it. People screaming, a lot of reaction
life
to it.
And death.
But it seems like it happens a lot.
You get a little gory. Yeah, you got to find different ways to poke holes in people than to save them. Different body parts. All right, well, I like it. That's a good one. Three Kings. There we go. That's going to be great. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. You can always check out the other ones.
It's been a while since I've watched that, too.
It's within definitely time to break it out. All right. So let's get into the box office recap. Drew, you got the numbers.
Yes, sir. All right,
here we go. You can do that on this.
Coming in, we're going to start number 7 this week.
Yes. Number 7 of number 5.
Coming in number 7, The Woman in Gold.
Woman in Gold.
Had a weekend gross of just over $2 million. Same as total.
Only $2 million? That's not that good for a brand new movie with Ryan Reynolds. I got to say, though, we were at the movie theater the other day. Matinee, right? Mm-hmm. So very early in the day, relatively speaking. And the theater was packed.
With old people.
With old people.
Really?
Old as fuck. Like, some of them are attempting to use the ticket machines.
Having lots of problems.
I have no idea.
I want to help you guys. That's so bad.
Why would you?
But they must have all been there for this movie. I thought it was going to make more than $2 million based on that.
At that age, why would you go to the ticket machine?
Exactly.
Like, why not go
you,
to the
you
window?
Think you know how to use the machine. You think it's more convenient, even though it takes you like 10 times as long.
They were daring.
I'm not knocking the age thing, but I mean, kind of know.
And there was a decent like, line outside.
Listen, if you haven't been able to figure out how to get your iPhone.
So Woman in Gold. We didn't see it because, no. I mean, I wanted to.
Yeah.
But Drew was like, sure you really did. Need to see this other movie. I was like,
oh, I haven't seen it yet.
I was like, guy, come on. We can't even go see them try to sue the Austrian government.
For a piece of art.
For a piece of art. And you're like, nah. On the Rotten Tomatoes, that is a 49% out of 75 reviews. 5.8 out of 10 is the average score. So actually, it's a middle-of-the-road movie, it seems.
Right.
Which actually is what it looked like when the trailers.
This is opening weekend, too?
This is still the opening weekend. The critical consensus out of 75 reviews. Woman in Gold benefits from its talented leads. Helen Mirren and Ryan Reynolds. But strong work isn't enough to overpower a disappointingly dull treatment of a fascinating true story. So I guess we didn't miss much.
All right.
It's an awkward combination, too. Helen Mirren and Ryan Reynolds.
It is. And it comes off that way very awkwardly in the trailers, too, which unfortunately I felt like I've seen way too many times. They played it in front of a lot of movies.
Really?
Yeah. So only making $2 million is like, this is good. This guy is Deadpool. Oh, he can't even make this movie open. I'm sure this is a different crowd. All right, here we go.
Yeah, it's complete.
We'll talk about some of that in a little bit later.
Coming in number five this week. The Divergent series, Insurgent, made an additional $10 million, total of $103 million.
Okay.
On a budget of $110 million.
And let's see, what are we talking about in terms of a movie like this?
Have you guys gotten into these Divergent movies?
I saw Divergent on the HBOs in bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't make any sense.
It couldn't. It became background noise to me for me playing on Facebook.
And then the Insurgent trailer doesn't make any sense to me either. And I want to know why. Is there a scene where she gets her haircut and then they like dye it up to give her the highlights? Because like, isn't she an underground resistance fighter? Where are they?
No, that's the way the underground rolls. They do underground but high fashion.
Because it is a gray, dull world. So like we're gonna be colorful in some way.
It's all like gritty and everything, except there's one little shop, one little salon on the corner.
Yeah, right?
Very flamboyant hairdresser. They go, girl, you need to come here so I can fix your hair before we go to war.
I just want
to
know. Yes, I feel like there should be that scene. If she's gonna have that haircut, there should be that scene. I'll see Insurgent eventually, just because you know. It's making money. People have seen it.
Yeah.
But it just seems like such a typical... It is a very typical teen, young adult, dystopian future. You are the chosen one. You
know, Hunger Games-ish.
Yes, exactly. But hey, good for Charlene Woodley making a lot of money. What else we got?
Coming to number four this week's Disney's Kenneth Branagh's Cinderella.
That's right, Disney owns him.
We can gross of $10.2 million, total of $167 million, budget of $95 million.
So much money.
Did you guys catch this at all?
No.
I'm going to end up seeing it because my wife is a huge like Disney everything fan.
Oh, really?
So this is one of those. She's like, will you go see this with me? And I'm like, yes. She goes, will you ruin it? And I'm like, no. Because I do tend, like, I didn't have to go see 50 Shades of Grey. She refused to actually watch it with me.
Oh, really?
Because I told her I would narrate it in every kind of voice I could think of. I would do the Gilbert Godfrey thing.
Yeah, you would ruin
Dusty
it.
Rhodes, anything I could think of so I don't have to go. So she's like, don't go.
Yeah.
And in fact, she watched it at home. And she's like, just go watch something else.
Go leave me alone.
She's like, just leave the room.
Leave me too.
I would walk into the room. She'd pause. She's like, what? What?
Don't interrupt me. That's hysterical.
And she didn't like it.
Yeah.
Really?
No,
yeah. It doesn't really seem to have its fans. I have to go see it because I lost the bet. So I'll be seeing it eventually. I'm waiting for it to go to the Dollar Theater.
Yeah.
See it super cheap. Cinderella, though, actually pretty well reviewed. It's generally a very well-liked movie. Kenneth Branagh did it. The guy knows what he's doing. He's Kenneth Branagh. So if you have to go see it, I'm sure it won't be something like it's you're being like slogging. Like, oh my God, it's better than 50 Shades.
I like the idea of taking the Disney characters and then giving
doing
them
the
a little
live
bit a gritty live action thing like they did Snow White and the Huntsman.
Yep.
Yeah. I watched it. That was okay.
And Maleficent. Same thing with Maleficent.
Maleficent wasn't bad either.
I had some problems with the Maleficent thing just because it wasn't a gritty version. It was more of like a let's twist this to she's a good person.
An alternate version.
Yeah, I just didn't like I'm like, wait a minute. Like even I don't care about this movie, but you're telling me that she was actually
she's good,
had
the
good
whole
intentions.
Time. Yes.
I'm like, that's not what I grew up with. That's
she's an evil person the whole time. She should have been pure evil.
An evil person would have been great, but I feel like they like, oh, we have Angelina Jolie, let's take this, make it a good character rather than having her be the villain.
And Disney now, they're going crazy with the live action because they announced that they're doing live action Dumbo with Tim Burton.
That doesn't
make
any sense.
And they're also doing a live action Winnie the Pooh. Because Disney has control of Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't I don't that know. Dumbo has a lot of
potential for weirdness
and some racism.
Lots of racism. Those Jim Crows.
Yeah. Like, are they gonna? How are they gonna do that?
I've never seen a house fly.
Yeah, just cut
them
out.
How are they gonna cast that?
Just cut that out. Get rid of it.
I don't know. Can you cut that out without people raising hell? And then do you cast it? You don't cast it with somebody doing a voice because that sounds wrong. You have to get.
So the Jim Crows could be Steve Harvey's Cedric the Entertainer.
But how much money would you have? How much money would they be like? What do you want us to do? You want us to do what?
Yeah, I don't know.
$10 million each.
That seems
at least
definitely. At sketchy territory that they're going to have to navigate very soon.
Fucking hilarious.
I mean, is it a period piece? Does it take place in the 30s and 40s? Or is it going to be like a modern type thing?
I don't know.
Do they got to be crows? Do they got to be black?
Do they have to be called Jim Crows?
That's weird.
So many things.
Somebody should have told him, hey, have you guys read this story?
You guys remember this part where, no, you guys just, nope. just remember the drunk elephant? Okay.
Yeah.
You don't think the alcoholism is a problem either?
Nope.
All right. So Cinderella, it won't kill you.
Yeah,
it won't kill you. Don't worry about it.
Coming in at number three this week, Get Hard. Weekend gross at $12.9 million, total of 57.
Still got to see this. We'll see it eventually, probably on DVD.
Nah, I really don't care about this movie at all.
I mean, I like the Will Ferrell, Kevin. I also want to see how racist, not racist it gets, or homophobic, because that's a talking point about this movie. So a lot of, what do they call it, gay panic in this film, apparently.
Right.
Well, no one wants to get butt-ripped in prison, Chris.
No one does. That's the biggest fear in America.
It's not a gay thing in prison. It's a thing. It's a power thing.
It's a
gay people do not want to get butt-ripped. It's not a perk.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one wants to get raped at the end of the day.
It does sound. But
the gay panic thing shouldn't go there. When you're talking about in prison and rape,
I think it's
even referencing.
I think prison rape is more of a panic than the whole
gay thing. I'm pretty sure there's a scene where Will Ferrell is made to... Kevin Hart somehow convinces him to get ready for prison.
To be somebody's bitch
or
something?
He goes to a buffet, a lunch buffet. That's well known to be frequented by the homosexual persuasion. And he has to blow some guy in the bathroom stall. Like voluntarily, too. And there's a big joke centered around that.
Whoa.
About him not wanting to have to suck off some dude's dick.
Why doesn't he just download Grindr?
To make it easier? I don't know. Apparently, the buffet.
Why does he have to blow a guy in a buffet bathroom?
I prep it all for that. Can we leave that part? How about we prep for that not to happen? Maybe some conversation techniques.
Yeah.
Maybe like figuring out how to become part of the crew. Like, I don't know. Come up with a story.
How do I not blow another guy?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, how did that even get worked into the story?
Did they go through that part? Like, there's no way for me not to talk this guy out of it, so I will do that? Yeah, or was it just go straight to blowing?
Yeah, do they have that conversation, or is it just assumed by all the characters, like, you will be
you're going to have to blow a guy, so you should practice now.
This is going to happen. Get used to it, is the whole thing. I don't know. That's why we got to see it. These questions need answering. So one day. I'm not saying I'm going to go rush out this afternoon, but...
One day.
On the divid. What's that? Number three?
That was number three.
Well, what's number two?
Number two is Home. Had a weekend gross of $27.4 million, total of $95.6 on a budget of $135.
DreamWorks animated movie. I'm not really a fan of the DreamWorks animated movies. You know what? How to Train My Dragons, I guess their best one. And Kung Fu Panda.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I would say Kung Fu Panda. I didn't like the How to Train My Dragons thing.
You liked that one?
I'm not in the... I don't know. It didn't attach to me at all. I didn't get into it at all.
Right.
Kung Fu Panda? I did.
Panda was awesome.
Yeah, I liked them. Even the second one. The second one was good.
Yeah. It was. I like the first one better. I really wanted to like the second one. Yeah, it's not as it's typical, as good type of situation, but definitely enjoyable.
But I would definitely watch it. But the How to Train My Dragon thing, I just can't.
Didn't do it for you.
I don't know.
And then outside that, it's all the Madagascar movies and the Shrek movies. And actually, I'll take that back. One more that I actually do like. I enjoyed quite a bit. Puss in Boots.
No.
Yes,
that movie is actually
Antonio Banderas as a cat.
Yeah,
anytime. I love that damn film.
Yeah, it's actually quite good. But otherwise, it's not like Pixar where the Pixar is exception to rule. Like, I don't like the Cars movies.
Yeah, and that's about it.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, the monster ones are
all right,
but everything else is like fucking gold, man.
Yeah.
Anyway. So all right, here we go. Building up to number one.
Well, first, I want to comment on the total. For this week...
This is an interesting stat.
There were 41 movies that played this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Total, out of all the theaters in America, they had a weekend gross of $218.6 million. That was the total gross for all of the movies in America this weekend.
Really?
$218 million. Mm. Of that $218 million, our number one movie, Furious 7, was $143 million of it.
So most of it.
So almost the entire right. weekend box office went to Furious 7.
So one movie. What was the screen count for that film?
4,000 theaters.
Wow. That is a lot of theaters.
Yeah.
That's
$143.6 million.
Did you guys catch that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm supposed to go see it tonight. That's the plan.
Okay, well, spoiler-free review
for you. I don't mind the spoilers. I haven't. It's the Fast and the Furious movies. I have an idea what's going to happen.
Yes.
I mean, I like the... It's one of those movies where you go into it going, I know what's going to happen here. I have an idea. There might be a couple plot twists.
Have you seen the trailers?
Pretty much shows
that you know what's
right?
going to happen
yeah,
in the
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
What I'm actually more interested in is how the whole Paul Walker thing goes.
It's interesting, definitely, to say the least.
Yeah, because I've heard different reviews of it. I've heard some really bad stuff that made me go, wow, that's going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That it does, like, at some point it gets uncomfortable watching it because
you'll,
of just
you'll
the...
You'll see.
Yeah. Like at some point he just stops talking.
It also depends on your connection to watching the movies. Like, are you a fan of the films going back to the first one?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I've always watched them because of that. They're just I do that with a lot of action films. Like, it's like The Expendables to me.
Sure.
Where I'm not going to watch it for a story.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it because this is going to be an action flick. It's going to have those moments where I pop. I'm like, yes, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm not going into the go to get connected to anybody to be like, oh man, these are such great films.
and then these
characters are really driven. Yeah.
You've seen them all, right?
Yeah,
you've seen them all. I'm one of these Johnny Come Latelys who I didn't start getting into them until the fifth one when everyone was like, oh shit, that was the first one where they did like a heist type thing, right? Yeah. And started this weird trajectory where now it's like, you know, in the fifth one they were doing some crazy heist, in the sixth one they got involved with like military type shit.
Yeah.
So just continue ramping that up. That's the next level they're going to with seven, without getting into details.
It's like they turned into this international gang
of you imagine
hardcore paramilitary. Right. They're like the Expendables now. It's fucking ridiculous. Yeah.
It's more like if that first movie was Point Break ripoff.
Right.
They've now more merged the franchise into like more of a Mission Impossible type of category,
yeah.
But with their brand of over masculine, hyper, right, like super silliness, you know, they definitely just keep that going. I mean, it's a Fast and Furious movie.
The cool thing though is even the last one, where at the end of it, I was like, all right, another Fast and Furious film. But then Jason Statham shows up,
yes,
and I'm like, what the hell are they doing?
And then that is,
I'm immediately locked into seven. I'm like, okay, I've got to see the next one now.
Oh, just wait until you see the opening scene.
Yeah, he has a great intro, and it's probably my favorite part of the movie is Statham, because this is the seventh goddamn film in the franchise. But it's the first one to have like a really, really good bad guy, a good antagonist. You know, all the other ones, it's always like, let's take down this random dude or that random guy. The last one, kind of close with Luke Evans, you know, but now it's like going from Luke Evans to Jason Statham is a huge, no offense to Luke Evans. I like the guy, but Jason Statham is like, that's a fucking transporter, man.
Yeah. That's where they can go from now. I mean, they can just keep finding one name to put in there as the villain, because I don't know how many more people you can add to this crew.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Where it's not like, yeah, I don't even know, like, where's Tyrese now?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many people there.
They do need a new white guy.
They need a new white guy because, you know, Paul Walker's not around to make.
That's true.
And they're going to keep making them. Yeah. Vin Diesel has mentioned recently how 8 will most likely take place in New York City. The first one, which is crazy. This series has now gone all around the world. It'll be their first time going to New York City.
That's good.
And imagine trying to plan and shoot
whatever
a car chase heavy movie in
gonna
New
make
York
news.
City.
Yeah. It's going to make news. People are going to be pissed. People are pissed already in New York about the traffic. Imagine them shutting down.
It shuts down so much shit.
When they shut down the Lincoln Tunnel, because they will,
because
that you have to do the film, it'll be all over the world. It's like, I can't get back home.
Yeah.
I can't get back to Jersey.
It's like, I got to drive through Staten Island to get to northern New Jersey.
I have to go around? What do you mean have to go around?
Go around the entire city. But that's what they're going to do. That's how they do it there.
Tyrese mentioned on an interview I saw that what's his name? The guy that plays Bourne.
Damon.
Yeah, Matt Damon. I was going to say Matt Bourne. Matt Damon. He said something about that he would love to have Matt Damon in the film.
That would be cool.
That they've tried, but they just couldn't get him in there.
We mentioned Helen Mirren. She said publicly she wants to be in a Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah. You know, everybody else, I enjoy seeing people that aren't normally villains. like in that super villain role.
Sure.
Like become like even Mel Gibson in the last Expendables. Yeah. I liked it. I was like, okay, that's cool. I like seeing a dark side of him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know Helen Mirren. I don't know. I mean, cool in Red.
She was fun in Red.
Yeah. Yeah, she was fun, but I don't know how.
To be like the assassin.
How serious am I taking you?
Well, how serious are you taking the Fast and Furious movies? You know.
Yeah. I mean, this is Helen Mirren having fun. I mean, yes, she's an Academy Award winning actress, but I mean,
you do have to put up your suspension.
She's just fucking around.
And like when you watch a Furious movie, you have to watch it and believe that. Oh yeah, Paul Walker or his body double or whoever it was. Sometimes you really can't tell.
Paul Walker,
Paul Walker can hold his own against someone like Tony Jaa. You know Tony Jaa,
right?
The Ong Bak movies and The Protector.
He's a bad guy.
Movie. Cool. He's a henchman, and he has a few scenes where he fights Paul Walker. And then every time, like Paul Walker gets one and gets a hit on him, I'm like, I don't like
him. That wouldn't happen in real life.
That's hard. Like you're really. The car is going over the mountains and buildings and stuff.
But there's steps you can take.
I believe all of that stuff in this world. But then once Paul Walker starts fighting Tony Jaa, I'm like, nah, I just
I can start to connect. I guess in some way I can release and be like, I guess maybe he got a hit. You know, he got lucky.
He got lucky. He got that one. But then
what do you have? Helen Mirren versus Ronda Rousey?
Oh, something like that would be weird.
Yeah. No, doesn't make any
even
sense.
In this one, Ronda Rousey versus Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah,
Ronda Rousey
wins.
She's wearing a dress, and she looks like she's like hulking out of that dress, like she's about to kill
I
someone.
Love Ronda Rousey.
In this one, she looked like she was in training.
Yeah,
and then she showed up on set one day, and it's like she looks a little scary.
So I guess if they did a Helen Mirren thing, it would be more that she's there, but she's has henchmen. She has to have people around her.
She'll
have
to
cast
boss.
Around her.
Yes.
Where you have people that get fought and she just eventually gets caught.
And she'll get to wield guns a few times. You know,
more like the brilliant villain.
Yeah.
More of like somebody like she's like, I've created this bomb and you can't stop unless you drive 88 miles per hour.
That's what that English accent is good for, you know.
Yes.
They sound more suave. I go even more sinister. Speaking of sinister, we saw that Spectre trailer in front of Furious 7. Have you seen the new James Bond teaser trailer?
I've seen a bunch of the reviews and stuff. I haven't seen any of the actual trailer. I've seen stuff describing it. I haven't watched the trailer. I've seen a bunch of stuff
describing it. It'll probably play. When you go see it, it'll probably play in front of the Furious 7. And it's very ominous, foreboding trailer the whole time. It's like no action, just a lot of like steady shots of like, you know, ominous
dark cabins.
Nice. Yes, and it's people
James
sitting
Bond
in the
shadows.
And then the dialogue about like past secrets.
Like, have you guys always been? Have you guys always been into James Bond?
Yeah, since I was a kid. Yeah, for sure.
I haven't, honestly. And what got me into it was Daniel Craig.
Nice. The Casino Royale.
I've seen some of them, you know, but nothing in order.
Yeah.
And it made me go back as far as I can to watch even the old ones, the very campy,
the 60s
ones.
And 70s ones.
And I've watched some of those. And I think there's some I still have to get to, but for whatever reason, the talk of Daniel Craig not doing it anymore upset me. I'm like, no, this is what hooked me to it, and I want to see more of films with this guy.
Yeah, I don't know how many he signed a deal at one point. That was like 4 or 5 or something. This would be number 4.
Yeah.
Man. He's gonna be done pretty soon. Yeah.
I just think he fits what James Bond is.
It feels
like in my mind, like that's James Bond. He's not over the top suave.
Mm.
You know, not Sean Connery type where like it's Sean Connery, James Bond drunk in a bar picking up women. He doesn't do that. He's not doing that, but he fits that role, and I think it's so great to watch him do it. But I don't know if I want to lose him.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's gonna happen. I think we might get one more movie out of him after this one. Maybe we'll see, because Spectre is then bringing back the classic Spectre evil organization from the 60s, and he's not cast his name in the casting, Christoph Waltz. He's like Hans Obermann or some shit like that. But motherfucker, he's gonna end up being, he's gonna be Blofeld with the cat and
eye
thing and everything. He's gonna be Blofeld for sure. I wonder if they even make him bald at one point. That'd be
cool.
Like some crazy white, like off white suit.
How much longer do you think Christoph Waltz can ride this Django thing? Or this well, I'm sorry, not Django.
The Tarantino thing.
Inglourious Basterds.
How many more movies is Tarantino making? Like 2 more movies?
He'll be in both of those.
Is he in Cast in Hateful Eight yet? I can't remember.
I guarantee you he will.
He'll always pop up.
I think he put his name in there. He's got to be.
He's got to be now,
because he's
right?
popular right now. I like the guy.
And he got the guy who's only two Tarantino's only 2 Oscars like for actors went to Christoph Waltz. A bunch of people got nominated.
But he is just Christoph Waltz. I don't see a big range in his acting ability.
Yeah.
He comes out, he does the stereotypical impersonation of him.
He does his thing.
He does his thing. And that's
charismatic
cool.
either for evil or for good.
Yeah, right. He is.
And it's cool, but at some point, it's just, I don't know, that's the way I feel about Johnny Depp.
Yeah, well, a lot of actors are like that. They just do their thing.
Right.
And then, you know, Denzel Washington does his thing. No. Yeah. How much is Denzel actually ever acting? You know, every now and then he might squeeze out a tear. Like, oh shit, Denzel's acting. Yeah. He's actually doing something. That's crazy. Because normally he's just doing Denzel. Yeah. He's got that smile and the slow clap. You can say that for a lot of people for sure. And like this movie, shit, that's all everyone. Vin Diesel's just doing his Vin Diesel thing.
Yeah.
Ludacris.
The Rock.
The Rock is the best. The Rock,
yeah.
He is the best.
He's the best Statham.
He's the best character. Him and Statham have the best fight scene. It's a fun movie.
It is.
You're going to enjoy it.
I'm hoping.
You are definitely going to enjoy it.
I'm going to see it late tonight, too. I'm going to see like a midnight showing.
Ooh, it's a long one.
Yeah,
works 2 hours.
Get one of them 5-hour energies and drink like it. Drink it 2 hours before the movie starts. So, Drew, right? Go see it in the theater?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes, it's a well-reviewed movie. Out of 170 reviews, 82% of them are positive. Average rating, 6.7 out of 10. I'd go like 7 out of 10. 6.5 out of 10, 7 out of 10, somewhere there. Serving up a fresh round of over-the-top thrills while adding unexpected dramatic heft. That's the Paul Walker stuff. Furious 7 keeps the franchise moving in more ways than one. Yeah, sure. And they're going to make more, and I'm going to go see them because they're fun.
How did you, I don't care if you don't want to spoil it, but how did you guys feel about the Paul Walker thing? Like, how did that... Was it weird to you guys? Is it obvious?
The
big Paul Walker thing is totally obvious.
Some of it is very obvious,
and it's a little weird too.
Yeah, you can see them how they're setting up this exit from the beginning.
Okay,
you see, oh, I see where they're going with this, and then if you're not really looking for it, some of it might slip by you. But
how do you watch this without looking for it?
That's the thing. So certain scenes are going to seem awkward. Like, oh, how come we're not seeing his face very much, you know? Or how come the characters are talking about him in a separate shot, and then he's in this shot over here by himself? That happens sometimes.
Only thing I can reference, and you could probably prove me wrong, that they've done this before was The Crow.
Right.
Yeah. And they did the similar. I can't think of anything else when they...
Gladiator. What's the movie? What's the name? Was it Anthony Quinn? No. Someone died in that movie who had a really small role. And they did... Weta did a face replacement thing on an actor for that one. So, I mean, it's been done a handful of times.
For small roles, but because this is a big role.
This is the biggest, probably.
Your leading character.
With the most amount of footage needed to be created. Bro, they only needed two shots. They were almost done with that, right. Which is a sad thing.
And it wasn't noticeable at all. Because, I guess probably because they didn't need much. I'm a big Crow fan, too. Yeah. So, there wasn't much that they needed to fill in for. But this, they had like more than half a movie, right?
Exactly. Yeah. They had to do, and then they had to redo things. You can tell what they had to redo.
That's sad.
So it's weird. It's like, is that him or is that his brother? It's like, well,
that's what I'm going to try and stop myself from doing. But I want to do it too. I want to notice it, but I don't want to get lost. You counted 12. Yeah, see, that's I don't want to.
I counted 12 times that I thought it was fake Paul Walker.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised though if one or two of those times was real Paul Walker.
It could have been.
And Sabaya, you're like, oh, man. You just don't know what Paul
Walker
looks
like. At some point, somewhere is going to have like a YouTube video of real Paul Walker, fake Paul Walker.
Yeah,
for sure. You can figure it out.
Absolutely. That's 100% for sure. All right, here we go. New movies coming out on DVD this week. Only one, really. Remember this one, Drew? With Oscar Isaac and Jessica Chastain?
Yes.
A Most Violent Year.
It was fun.
I haven't seen that.
A kind of un-gangster gangster movie.
It's an un-gangster movie.
Yeah, it is.
It's an un-gangster movie. Because Oscar Isaac is this immigrant dude in 1981 New York City, and he runs a transportation company, and they transfer like oil and stuff around town, right? And all the other companies are like into really gangster shit. Mm-hmm. The mafia like controls a lot of stuff, and he refuses to like fall into that lifestyle. He's like, no, I'm a very honorable businessman. I don't own a gun. I don't want anyone else. You know, he's that type of guy. And then it's just like
it all just goes to hell.
And it goes to hell for him. He's trying to like be upstanding. And meanwhile, it's 1981, which is supposed to be the most violent year on record for New York City.
Yeah.
So his drivers are getting jacked in the, out in the streets, you know, and his trucks are getting stolen, and the cops are ineffectual.
He may or may not have done had some unscrupulous business practices.
Meanwhile,
in the
his wife, Jessica Chastain, runs the business, and he's like, "Oh, listen, the state prosecutors come down on us or whatever. So I need to make sure if we're exposed over anything." And she's like, we practice standard industry, you know, standards. I said, like, what does that mean? You know,
that means fuck around with our books.
It means we're crooks. We're horrible crooks. Yeah.
We dump XX oil on the back.
Yeah, but the whole time it's like, I'm an honorable businessman. You know, he's that type of guy. It's a really, really good movie. And he has like this whole young Al Pacino thing going for him, okay. Oscar Isaac. The guy's about to blow up now with Star Wars and X-Men. He's going to be the biggest actor ever in a second here.
Who's he in X-Men?
Apocalypse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's nice. The bad guy.
Yeah.
And then in Star Wars, his role got increased when Han Solo's name, what's his name, Harrison Ford, when he got hurt, and they had to like ride around him. Oscar Isaac got the brunt of that. He got to do more. So he's gonna dude's gonna blow up. So what's coming out in theaters, Drew?
The new Scott Eastwood, son of Clint.
Yeah, there you go.
He is in a horrible, awful movie called The Longest Ride.
How do you know it's horrible, awful? You haven't seen it yet.
It's one of those, isn't one of those Stupid Sparks asshole movies?
Stupid Sparks, that's his name. Yeah, Stupid Sparks.
The Stupid Sparks asshole who writes those shitty books for women.
Like for the Notebook and stuff like that.
Yeah, that dude. God. It's one of his movies.
Okay. But with an Eastwood.
Scott Eastwood.
Scott Eastwood.
Son of Clint.
I get that there's a market for it. I just don't.
Oh, yeah, there's totally a market for it. I don't. It's not my market.
That's why they keep making
it. It's weird. My wife is very much into all these books. Like this type of book. She loves The Notebook. She loved 50 Shades of Grey, the book.
Sure.
But every adaptation into a movie, she has not liked.
Huh. Well, she's got standards.
So, and that's what I'm realizing. Like, you know, so there's money to be made there, but why not try a little bit harder?
They don't try that hard.
They don't necessarily need to try that hard. All they need is enough interest for some woman to be like, you know what? I'll try it.
Right.
And as long as they try it, the theater gets their money. The movie company gets their money. The woman can even hate the movie.
Yeah.
But they still got paid.
They had to pay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's all that really matters.
Especially if you're not trying to make sequels out of it.
Yeah.
Longest Ride. Longest Ride 2. I had to look at the title.
The Longest
again,
Ride.
So I don't remember what's even called.
Wasn't there already The Longest Ride?
I feel like there was The Longest Yard.
Oh,
there's
The Longest Yard.
There was 8 Seconds.
There's always like Hell
which
Ride.
Is this movie all over again.
There's A Long Good Friday. There's 8 Seconds. That's right. 8 Seconds.
The Luke Perry Longest Ride.
Was it Luke Perry? I was about to say Jason Priestley.
Nope.
Wrong. 90210. What else is coming out?
Ex Machina also comes out this weekend.
I think it's Ex Machina. Ex Machina? I think it's Ex Machina.
Sure. I don't care how you pronounce it.
I don't care either. That's again, Oscar Isaac is in this one.
Wow.
And Domhnall Gleeson.
The younger Gleeson. Domhnall, son of
Brendan.
No.
great grandson of Jackie.
Yeah.
Their Irish grandson. Domhnall Gleeson, son of Brendan. It's a movie where it's about Oscar Isaac is this dude, a reclusive scientist guy who creates like an AI and builds like a robot lady. And Domhnall Gleeson shows up to like interview it or something. And then I think he falls in love with it.
Another Her type movie?
Sort of, I guess so. Yeah. So we'll see.
People fall in love with the computers and
her,
shit.
Like Black Mirror-ish kind of thing.
Mirror is so creepy, man. And it's actually, so you saw Black Mirror?
Yes.
The one where the dude dies and then she like gets the whole, uses his online profile to recreate him. Yeah. That's Domhnall Gleeson.
Oh, it's the same guy.
Yeah, same guy.
That's Domhnall.
So funny that you bring that up.
That's cool.
That's him.
It's that dude. Yeah.
I love those. I want more of them.
They're amazing.
There's just not enough.
There's that Christmas special. You see the Christmas one with John Hamm?
No, I haven't.
Oh, the one they did on Christmas.
I only watched the 6 on...
That's on the Netflix?
Yeah.
It'll be on Netflix soon enough. Oh, I gotta see that shit. So good. And they're doing an American version. The guy who does it in the UK...
Are they gonna make new ones? Or are they gonna remake those?
No, I think the guy from the UK is coming over to America to be the showrunner for the American version, which would be all new stories.
Well, because, you know, those Black Mirror ones, they were awesome. Mm. And they do kind of have... You know, that global feel to them, but they're still very British.
Yeah,
shows.
They are very British, and it takes a little bit to get into it.
Yeah.
So he'll come up with stories, but then give it to, like, American people.
Exactly.
As long as they don't try and redo the same stories. Like, I don't need to see the politician.
We got that one. The shock is over. We got it. We don't have to see it again.
Senator from Wisconsin has the floor with a pig.
the story with the, where they had the thing in the eye, and they can recall everything and record it and show on TV. Apparently, someone bought the rights to turn that into a feature film.
I can see that.
And Robert Downey Jr. is going to be in the lead.
That's cool.
They already kind of did a movie like that, though, with Robin Williams.
Which one?
Oh, I forget what
the Robin, final cut, something like that. Yeah.
I watched it. That's basically the movie.
Well, they're going to try it again this time. They got a better idea this time around.
I can't remember the name of what the film was, so I guess they could do it better.
Right?
It was a small movie.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, hey, let's take a quick break here because that's what's coming out. And then we have the second half of the show. We got movie news. We got listener movie reviews and stuff like that.
Very cool.
And but first, I've been talking a lot lately about 80s type movie scores. And I'm going to keep running with that.
Cool.
So first, here's an actual 80s theme song. It's the Terminator theme. And
it's the greatest theme.
Amazing theme, right?
That I can think of.
I feel like it's underrated in terms of people talking about 80s themes, electronic themes.
I will be humming this for the rest of the week. I'll walk around going.
It's great. So I'm going to play that. And then to show the influence of those type of scores, the movie Beyond the Black Rainbow, remember that one? That's back on the Netflix.
I was just about to say, Chris.
Yeah, it's back on the Black Rainbow.
It's a weird art movie, but God, is it pretty.
It's very mesmerizing to watch. Okay. It's very deliberate in its styling. The story itself is like, who gives a shit about the story?
Yeah.
But it's also very throwback 80s. Awesome score. So here's... the opening track, the opening theme from the soundtrack for that movie. So here you go, guys. We'll be back with the second half of the show with Trista Cogbert and Chico. Cinema. Crespo. Diso. Cinema. Crespo. Diso. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome to the Questbogo.
All right, here we go. Second half of episode 117 is officially underway. I'm chilling with Drew Cogburn, Drew.
What up, bro?
And Chico.
What's going on? What's going on?
All right, guys. We're having a good time. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Chico, tell everyone about Answer Pants.
RampantRadio.com, Answer Pants, where every Monday night we broadcast live. You can come in the room, watch the show, and then we're on podcast, on the interwebs forever. So you can check us out on iTunes, check us out on Stitcher. Follow us at answer_pants on Twitter.
Yes.
Follow Rampant Radio. Go to RampantRadio.com. Like, share, subscribe. Tell your friends about the show. You can follow me everywhere that matters, at This Is Chico, on the tweets and on the Instagrams, and that Snapchat thing.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm on that Snapchat too. Not that I necessarily know how it works.
Yeah, I'm there.
And I've gotten any snaps that aren't, you know,
snaps or chat.
Strange pictures of cats or frowny faces.
It's so weird.
Like, ducks.
I didn't understand how I was signing up for it. Honestly, like, and it's the first piece of like social networking that screwed me up. Where I was like, wait, am I old?
Yes, I'm yes,
like,
you are.
I put in This Is Chico, and I signed up for it, and then it's like, that name is taken. I'm like, okay. Well, so I'm like, I think I did that Chico guy or something like that.
Oh,
and
really?
Then it's like, oh, now you have that one. But my name on there is This Is Chico, and then under it says that Chico. I don't know which one my name is.
Because it linked up with your other profiles. Because all that stuff is interconnected.
Yeah. Didn't it let me have This Is Chico? If gave it to me anyway.
That is weird.
I don't understand.
Because you already had it.
I'm confused. Somebody, I got signed up for it just automatically.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, well, he's going to get it, so here you go.
It's like, as soon as you download, like, we know what this guy's going to do with it. He's signing up.
Let's I had to contact of my niece, who is 15, to explain it to me.
Yeah.
Which made me feel even older, because she's on Snapchat, and she's like, so you can send picture back and forth? I'm like, okay. And then, so like, well, she sent me a picture. I haven't seen her. And she lives in Tampa. And so I'm like, oh, cool. Let me save this picture. She goes, you saved that picture. I'm like, yeah.
No.
Oh, like, yeah,
I screenshotted it. She's
just
so
you
know, it'll tell everybody when you do it. I'm like, well, that's weird.
Yeah, well,
like,
well,
I want to save a picture of you, but I don't want you to think I'm doing it because I'm creepy.
Well, right. Here's the thing. The whole point of Snapchat.
It's a creep alert.
The whole Snapchat thing is it can be used to send quote unquote sensitive information.
Right.
You know, it's maybe things that, you know, people might want you to see for
it's
a little
Mission
bit.
It's the Mission Impossible.
Exactly.
You have so much time before it explodes.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. So it
look
alerts
at, look
the
at these
person.
Titties before they explode.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
The exploding titty app. That's what that is. That's what that is. So you're on This Is Chico and everything, just like this guy. That's pretty smart. What are you drawing all those?
Antihero 419.
On that Snapchat.
Everything.
And on the Twitters.
Twitter.
Pretty smart, guys. My shit is all mixed up everywhere. It's true. Well, actually, yeah, because it's on Twitter, Cinema Crespo so didn't fit. One letter too long. It was Cinema Crespo Dis.
Oh.
And I was like, ah, oh, I can't roll like that. So on Twitter, the show is at Crespo Dis. So everywhere else. So Facebook, Instagram, Cinema Crespo Dis. So hit the show up. Email the show, cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. You can email us many movie reviews. We'll read them. This show is a platform for the people. If you want to tell us about any movie that you saw, old, new, doesn't matter, hit us up. We'll read it. Same thing on Twitter. Tweet us. Your mini reviews, your questions, all that shit. If you want stickers, we just shout outs to PJ in Denver. This is our show. He sent us a picture. You can see it on the Instagram, on the Cinema Crespo Dis Instagram. His bumper, his car bumper, and it's all like podcast stickers, like a bunch of Tom and Dan ones. And then he popped up a couple of Cinema Crespo Dis ones in there. So he's repping us in Denver on his car. We appreciate it. So if you want some free stickers, email us cinemacrespo@gmail.com. We have three types we'll send you of all varying qualities.
Yes, and sizes.
And sizes.
And so copyright infringement issues.
And when you hold them in your hand, you'll be able to tell, oh, this is one that can be on my car. And this is one where do not touch it or else the ink will smudge immediately.
Yes.
Please, you'll know. Speaking of getting in touch with us, I have to give you, Drew. I forgot to give you
things to read.
All your things to read.
Drew reads things from the internet.
This is the section of the show we call Drew Reads Things from the Internet, provided by the listeners. And as always, we start with our homeboy from New York City, senior show correspondent, Billy D. Here we go. Death of the Movies, official show intro. Drew, you got it. What is it saying?
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, Billy?
The weather is finally turning up here. Only the most resilient piles of snert cling to the shadows. I don't know what the fuck snert is.
Goddamn Brooklynese.
I was going to say, people do shit outside a lot up there.
Yep. That's true.
Could be snert.
Oh, there you go. All right. Chico figured it out.
What better way to honor the coming spring than with an outdoors movie? This week, Fort Awesome was proud to host a screening of Backcountry via Amazon Rental.
Backcountry. Okay.
Starring Missy Pennygrim of Reaper, Eric Balfour of 6 Feet Under, and a hostile bear, Backcountry is a solid camping thriller that is worth playing on a spoiled summer day. Like when you've got sunburn or it's raining and you're at a hotel, at a theme park, or a loved one's condo. You're suffering...
Sounds like someone's sunburned at a loved one's condo right now.
Yeah, seriously, right? What the fuck? Hang on. I think Billy's having some grammatical issues in this today.
Billy...
Spell check that stuff, dude. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay. You're suffering or are mildly inconvenienced enough to want to watch something having a worse time than you. It's natural. It's human nature versus nature. But you also want some hope, so this is a good movie to watch. It reminds you that someone is having a worse time than you, unless you've been ruthlessly hunted for days across the wild by a bear. You are already scared of bears. This won't cure that. Backcountry is bad. I watched it, and I can see myself watching it again under certain circumstances. It's no Jaws, but it does bear a resemblance.
Hi-yo!
I see what he did there.
Stay cool, Billy D. Set for microwave, excuse typos, and or burp.
Oh, there we go. It's all right, so
Backcountry.
Getting chased by a bear. Chico, have you ever been chased by a bear for days on end?
Not. Well, there was this one guy that sent me a Snapchat.
Oh no.
Different kind of bear.
That's a different kind of bear, though.
Are you sure that was Snapchat? There's other apps out there. You might be...
I'm not sure. I'm signed. I get notifications from Grindr all the time too. Might have been on Grindr. I think that was the Grindr gimmick.
You can hit up Billy on Twitter at I Love Blood. Well, he's a nice guy though. Don't let the name scare you.
He just loves blood.
He just loves blood.
I don't know that. Nothing wrong with blood. It tastes good.
We assume in movies.
Tastes like iron.
What do you got there, Drew?
From Rage Against Twit.
Rage Against Twit. Shout outs.
At Chris Budiso, Interstellar Haiku Review.
Okay, cool.
Interesting flick. Ambitious try at space time, McConaughey shines.
There you go. His haiku review of Interstellar. I love the movie review haiku. He makes it get to the point, but it forces you to think, you know, be a little poetic about it, right? Did you see Interstellar?
I have, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. I kind of got lost in some of the science towards the end.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Where I'm like, wait a minute. Like, everything else up until now made sense.
The fifth dimension.
The fifth dimension.
Yeah. What the hell are we talking about?
Yeah. It's weird.
And it was kind of a quick giveaway with the book. Like, because as soon as I saw the... I don't know if we're giving it...
It's been out for a while.
It just came out on DVD.
It's on DVD now.
When he's leaving and the book falls off the shelf, I'm like, there's some kind of... They spent way too much time. And so then when he's floating around and I see the bookcase, I'm like, oh, okay, there we go.
Yeah, it's almost like the Shyamalan twist version of a... It's like Christopher Nolan making an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah.
Where it's like, here's the twist ending here, and it's always behind the book the whole time. Yeah, they spend so much time on the book in the dust. Like, you know, this has to come back in some way.
But it didn't disappoint where I was just connected to those, even though it kind of gave away, like, okay, this is going to have some kind of connection.
Right.
The rest of the film was good. Like, I had no idea, you know, the twists and turns. You know, you started to see, like, something was weird with Matt Damon.
When his character popped up, you're like, oh, shit, it's Matt Damon.
What the hell's he doing here?
Yeah. But then, you know, the little things of, the robot went bad, and little things got kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it was still...
It's a cool movie.
Still kept you guessing.
Yeah, and now that's out on DVD, definitely want to revisit it for sure and check it out again. All right, so yeah, Rage Against Twit, you liked it. He's got another one there?
Yep, he's got a Whiplash movie review haiku.
Whiplash, awesome. All right, here we go.
Jay Simmons excels. No redeeming qualities. Entertaining. Good.
Okay. Entertaining, good. Yeah. Oh, Whiplash, that's the drummer, the drumming movie.
Oh, yeah.
Where the student drummer, he's in the school, and then J.K. Simmons, the State Farm insurance guy, is like all up in his face and being a dick about it.
I remember seeing the previews for it.
He won an Oscar for it.
Man, it's a good movie.
Really?
Yeah. I love that movie so much.
It's really good.
When I saw the drummer thing, I'm like...
Yeah. It's really good.
So you saw you weren't interested in it at all, right?
It's just the drummer thing didn't do anything for me. Because I'm thinking all these drum movies.
Sure, okay. Well, how about this? Last time you were on the show, we told you about Her.
Right.
And how you're like, I'm not interested in that. And I was like, it's my favorite movie of the year. And Drew's like, yeah, it's my favorite too. So then you watch it and you liked it, right?
Yep.
Whiplash is my favorite movie from last year.
It's my second favorite movie.
It is my favorite movie. And it's your second favorite movie? We love that movie.
Yeah. All right,
so I would definitely recommend checking it out. I think you're gonna like it. If you don't like it, if the drumming thing puts you off, but I think it's more. It's about more than the drumming.
Between now and the next time I'm on, I'll watch it.
Beautiful, awesome, excited. Got anything else over there, Drew?
From the Facebook, Mr. Tom Lucas asks, Jesse Eisenberg, good Lex Luthor or poor attempt at a reboot?
All right. They did just put out a new picture, the first official picture of Eisenberg as Lex Luthor, and it's just a shot of his head and he's bald. Yeah.
I like the idea of going back to, because the comic, not in film that we've had it so much, but in the original Superman films, he wasn't a big, you know, ripped guy, which the comic books did start to go to that where he's strong and there's a more, like, even the cartoons, the TV cartoons, he was more of a broad-shouldered guy. They didn't go with the scrawny,
the brain versus the brawn.
He's brilliant and he's weaselly and he's going to try and get away.
And he's got a lot of money.
Even like Gene Hackman, you don't see him as like an imposing dude, but he's intellectually imposing. Yeah. That's the whole idea.
I'm hoping maybe they go this route with him, and I could see if you've kept up. Like, I can see him because of the way that the universe has been created so far, just in the new Superman flick.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh. Watch out.
Interrupted. Here we go. Time reducing Cogman versus the world. Where's that game?
Crespo lost the game.
But yeah, you're right. Yes, it's in line with the Man of Steel and the more slightly more grounded approach to the comic book thing.
Have him build a suit. That's what I want. Like, have Jesse Eisenberg in that like Superman busting suit, is whatever you want to call it.
Well, is that what they're going to do with Batman though? Is Batman going to be having, because it's Batman versus Superman too? Yeah, so yeah.
They're going to have to. Because it makes sense if you're putting it more in the reality world. Like, Batman couldn't beat this alien without some kind of tech to help.
Kryptonite. I mean, the comic books, Batman's got a stash of kryptonite just in case.
He's got that, like, in the Dark Knight thing where he's the kryptonite powered chemical bomb. Bomb that he inhales a little bit. Oh, Jesus.
Batman's a dirty fighter, dude.
He is.
Okay, this game, where you are doing it so far this year is 2-1.
Yes.
He just lost for the first time last week against the... Was that Black Hasselhoff?
Yes, it was.
That was Anthony Davis from Forget That You're Radio. It was a good game, dude. It came down to the end. Really? Tiebreaker, I think, too. Man. And then the week before that, against Edgy, he drew one and a double tiebreaker.
Really?
That was too much pressure now.
That was crazy. So here we go. This game is called Taglines. I'm going to give you the tagline for the movie. You tell me the movie. So, for example, if I said, just when he thought it was safe to go back in the water.
Jaws, right.
Jaws isn't correct. Jaws 2. This one, I thought it was safe to go back.
This is rough, man. This is going to be rough.
Jesus.
All right. So since Drew lost, the guest, winner takes out, the guest gets to choose. So you have, there's group A, group B, 5 in each. Which one do you want, A or B?
Let's do B.
B. All right. Pick your poison. Here we go. One man's struggle to take it easy.
One man's struggle to take it easy. Go with the first thing that comes to mind. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
That is correct. Yes. You're going to want to go with your instinct on these, all right? Number two, even a hitman deserves a second shot.
I can't remember the name of the movie that I'm thinking of.
Oh, my God.
If you pantomime the entire film from start to finish, we will accept that.
The Professional.
Oh, it's incorrect.
No.
Gross points blank with John Cusack. Number three, see our family and feel better about yours.
I haven't seen this film, but for whatever reason, I Heart Huckabees is coming to mind.
No, I'm sorry. Oh. It's the Simpsons movie. Oh. The Simpsons movie.
So bad now. I did great right off the bat.
Number four, the thing that won't die in the nightmare that won't end.
The thing that won't die in the nightmare that won't end. Oh, man. Jason 5?
The Terminator.
That's a weird tagline for that.
Is it kind of weird one, right? And finally, number 5. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll hurl. Juice it. You said, like, no, you don't get
that. Nah, dude, I haven't gotten any of these.
You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll hurl.
Jackass.
Wayne's World.
Oh.
Wayne's World. All right, so you got 1 out of 4.
I'm trying to like reference the tagline to the things in the field.
It's tough.
I really hope I get 1 out of 4.
It's tough. Yeah.
I'm really hoping to get one.
All right, Drew, here we go. Number one. The longer you wait, the harder it gets.
The longer you wait,
the harder it gets.
I'm going to guess.
Wet Hot American Summer.
The 40-year-old virgin.
Oh,
number two.
Yeah, totally. Okay.
Whoever wins, we lose.
Oh, I actually know this. I know the answer to this. What? I think it was. Is it the new Transformers, Dark Side of the Moon?
It is not. That is Alien vs. Predator.
Oh!
Number three.
That's a good one for
it
that,
is.
Too.
Trapped in time, surrounded by evil, low on gas.
Trapped in time, surrounded by evil. Low on gas. Low in gas.
That's the part. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what throws it off there. Or it tells you what it is. What could it be? Those are the noises he makes when he thinks.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Typical juicer thinking noises.
Nothing on this one.
Army of Darkness.
Oh, really? Yeah, fucking chainsaw hand. God damn it.
Goddamn chainsaw hand. Number four. One Dream. Four Jamaicans. 20 below zero.
Cool running.
That's correct.
Come on.
And number five, his story will touch you even though he can't.
Edward Scissorhands.
That's correct.
Yes.
Oh. At the end.
Yes.
Very nice. Very nice.
Oh, right. Man. That was scary.
Drewster Cogburn gets it there. Yeah, man. They're pretty tough.
I was holding out, man, for a draw.
It would have been.
I was hoping for a draw.
It would have been three draws in a row if that would have happened.
Because normally the tiebreakers are about box office numbers, and since I've been doing the box office, I'm pretty good at
it. He's a box office guy, so you're saying I should change it because it was a box office tiebreaker.
I think you should.
I should start changing that then. Thanks for being so honest, Drew.
I have an edge. That's all I'm saying.
We appreciate it. I like Eisenberg. I like Snoother. I think going back to that, I think it's good. I think it's just bald Mark Zuckerberg. At the height of Facebook's powers, where he's like, I want to control everything.
if he wears the Zuckerberg sweater, it's going to ruin it. It's going to completely derail into, oh, this Facebook guy took over the world.
It will totally ruin it.
What happened to the bald face guy?
Okay, let's get into some of this movie news here. I'm going to go ahead and jump to this since we're talking about it. There is a rumor, a solid rumor. We can take it almost as fact right now. The first Batman versus Superman : Dawn of Justice trailer will play in front of Mad Max : Fury Road.
I can't wait to see that fucking movie.
Yeah, May 15th. 2 weeks before that, because Disney was like, yeah, we don't know of Avengers. It's going to break all the box office records. So just to make sure we get that opening weekend, we're going to slap the new Star Wars trailer in front of all the showings of Avengers.
To make sure that it breaks all box
To make sure all records. Every single geek comes out for that opening weekend, right?
As if people weren't going to show up.
I know. Yeah. It's almost like...
It's a given. It's a given. You're going to win that weekend. It's going to be a big deal.
Now you're just stacking the deck.
I mean, obviously, when you come out into the Comic-Cons, and you're like, these are our projections for the next 7 years, or whatever it is, and you're like, 1, 2, 3, and 4, you already know that you're going to make enough money to do sequels.
To keep making these movies. Yeah. And those are just the ones that come out in theaters. Wait till they get into the whole world of, like, direct to video, direct to Netflix. They already are with Daredevil and stuff like that. And what's this other one you're doing?
They're doing Daredevil. Are they? They're doing
January Jones. I think is no. That's the actress. It's the something like that though. Some character that no one knows. They're doing like four Netflix series. Yeah. Daredevil's the only one that people even know. And then they're doing three other ones. So like,
I don't remember if they're doing a group thing with Luke Cage or are they doing his own Netflix series.
They have so many options. There's a lot going on.
And they were talking about connecting everything, which could be kind of cool.
So we got that Batman v Superman is coming, guys.
I can't wait for the trailer.
The trailer is going to be great. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the trailers. The movie, I don't know about the movie. The movie is going to make for a great trailer. If there's anything we know about Zack Snyder movies, like him or hate him, going all the way back to Dawn of the Dead, his movies always make for good trailers.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll be some as good as a 300 or a Watchmen, and sometimes it's a Sucker Punch.
That Sucker Punch trailer is awesome.
Sucker Punch trailer is great.
The movie is not.
It's like, man, I want to see that movie.
Your boy.
Oscar Isaac. Oscar Isaac's my boy. I love that guy. Inside Llewyn Davis. I love when a lot of times movies, things, you know, plays, they get turned into movies. I mean, books get turned into movies, plays get turned into movies and stuff. But I like it when it goes the other way because it's so weird, especially when movies get turned into musicals.
Okay.
Which happens a lot. Yeah. Sometimes it's a success, like The Lion King. That's been on Broadway for 20 years now?
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
The musical.
The musical is coming, guys. No, it's not. But they did do the Spider-Man musical. Spider-Man : Turn Off the Dark.
Yeah.
Which music by U2. It ran for 2 years. Did not make its money back.
Nope.
And it closed. It closed.
And a lot of people recently. Broke legs.
People broke legs and shit, yeah. No, now they're doing a musical. They just did a Rocky one that closed recently. Where apparently...
What did that do?
Not good. It's done. It's over after a couple months.
I can't see that doing well
at all. But apparently it had a spectacular final sequence where they get to the Rocky versus Apollo fight. And the stage turns into a ring. And they have this big choreographed fight thing going on. And it's supposed to be amazing. But not good enough to see. I saw He-Man Masters of the Universe on stage. I wouldn't call it Broadway. I think that was an off-Broadway type deal. But yeah, I was like 5, 4 years old. Everyone had their own sword. At one point, He-Man, like, he turned to the crowd. And he was like, let me see.
Say it with me.
He's like, say it with me. And he held up his sword. And all the kids were like, oh, whatever. What is it? By the power of Grayskull or something?
I am the power.
I have the power? Yeah. Ooh, and I was too embarrassed holding my sword because I was with my parents. I was like, I feel stupid. But I still love it, though.
I wonder, I've seen the picture that came out, was it last week or the week before, of the little CGI'd, what is He-Man's thing that he rides?
Battle Cat.
Yeah, the 300-looking picture of Battle Cat was all super moody looking, okay. Like Game of Thrones style.
Give me some.
Hey, I'll see it.
Interesting.
Yeah. I will see
it.
Even though
the one with Dolph Lundgren is still... the best. I have that at home on DVD, and we'll watch that every once in a while.
Man, the whole movie takes place in the suburbs, bro.
I love it. That's just
the universe,
though.
And it's some random suburb, and they're eating fried chicken.
For Skeletor, that was a damn good looking Skeletor.
Frank Jelly, that was great.
That was a great looking Skeletor.
And then they tease us at the end. It's like, I'll be back or whatever. And then
they never did. It's because of those stupid troll things.
Son of a bitch.
It ruined the whole movie.
But no, the movie that is now making its musical debut in 2017 on Broadway will be Groundhog Day. They're making a Groundhog Day. Broadway play, guys. You know the plot. It's a Groundhog Day plot. Yeah. They're just doing that straight up. They're not changing anything. It's gonna be that story.
Wow. So.
But there's no Broadway. Bill Murray.
There's what?
But there's no Bill Murray.
No, of course not.
But I don't care.
I mean, Sylvester Stallone was in the Rocky play.
That's why people don't care.
Jeremy Irons doesn't do the voice of Mustafa in the Lion King play.
He totally it's a
voice.
Should.
It's just a
but
voice.
It's a voice. It's a voice. The voice
and he was the voice of Scar, not Mustafa. Thank you very much.
Mustafa was James Earl Jones. Thank you for correcting me, sir. I humbly apologize. I'm sorry. I'm so humble.
I don't know if... So basically, Broadway is now given up to where most of like Hollywood has, where let's just re-bring this stuff up. Like that's a film. Like we can easily.
Yeah, they
we already
films.
Have a guideline of what it should be.
They do books like Wicked is hugely popular. You know,
it's bad,
that's being turned into a movie now. But they still take their chances. They gave Parker and Stone, those guys, the money and the space to do what they wanted
on
Broadway.
Woman, and it kaboom.
It won all the awards. Yeah. All of the fucking awards. It won all the awards.
It took all the money.
It made all the money. It took all the monies, all the awards, and then they packed up and they left. They're like, fuck you guys, right?
We're out of here. We're done. Going back to Canada.
Oh, man, I want to see that so bad. And it was just here too at the Dr. Phillips in January.
Yeah, I wanted to try and see it.
Came here the week it was here, it was the week I was out of town.
Oh.
I was like, damn, I don't have the privilege of spending $100 to try to get it. Dave Chappelle is coming.
Yeah.
That's gonna be like a $70 ticket, man. It's probably sold
it's
out.
Already
right
sold
now,
out.
I don't know if I want to see Jack Chappelle?
Well, Jacked Chappelle.
Oh, he's Jacked.
He did the Carrot Top thing.
So is he just going to like hulk around on stage, like pace back and forth?
I saw a picture like advertising it, and he's sitting like in front of the stage.
And his arms
in
are
a
huge.
Sleeveless.
Yeah.
Sure, and he's just jacked.
Nope. He always wears sleeveless shirts now.
How are you going to play the crackhead?
You can't.
How are you going to do that? You don't have scrawny arms.
Maybe he has a new character. Reform
Jim
crackhead.
Guy.
Yeah, Jim guy. Jim crackhead. He's like, he used to do crack. Now he lifts weights.
He's crack for a pre-workout.
Keeping with the superheroes, the 60s Batman, it's coming back, guys.
Really?
Yes.
Slapstick style?
Animated style.
Ooh.
And they got Adam West.
Do the voice.
And Burt Ward.
Burt Ward?
Burt Ward will be doing the voices for That's Batman good. And Robin in an animated movie.
Animated movie.
Of the 1960s Batman. Kapow!
I'll check it out. That'll be fun.
That was my introduction to Batman when I was a kid. That was in reruns.
Yeah.
And I watched that shit over and over. That's next bat time, same bat time, same bat channel. Mm-hmm. I was all about that.
It's
stuff.
Still, I mean, you can still catch it today. Oh, yeah. I've seen it on TV Land.
You watch it on,
I think, Esquire.
Every once in a while, yeah. It's on. It's just like, put it on.
On like Sunday mornings, you know, where there's nothing on TV. It's like, oh, here it goes. A 4-hour block of Batman fighting. There's King Tut, right?
Yep.
Big fat King Tut. There's, what are some of the lower? Because obviously you got the Riddler and the Penguin.
And the Catwoman.
Shows up. But then they couldn't do every episode with those guys, so no. They had to come up with like all the other the smaller villains. Those are the fun ones. Those are the ridiculous. Like, where are these people coming from?
Is it going to be too much though? Too much Batman everywhere? Like you've had the other animated
so
series
Batman
are coming back
everywhere forever.
Yeah, even when Batman movies weren't being made for that little block of time between Batman and Robin, Batman Begins, there's still Batman cartoons, yeah. Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
Batman is like
Batman's big money.
Batman yeah. is like Americana, you know?
Yeah.
It's a gritty, dark reflection of America in pop culture.
And he's bigger, I would say.
Or it's not. I mean, there are definitely two different Batmans
oh,
out
sure.
there.
Yeah.
There's the Batman for kids.
Sure.
That's, you know, Batman, right. he's chasing down villains.
And then
doing
there's
the
Dark Knight
thing. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then
but it's
the
so
Knight.
Much money in just that character alone. Like, so Superman doesn't get that play. He doesn't get as many TV shows and series and stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
him.
It's because
that's
he's
true.
An illegal alien.
Oh, that's what it
he
is.
He is an immigrant. Yeah. Yeah. And depending on who you are in this country, you have a different view on different immigrants.
Yes.
He's a Jewish immigrant, too. So. Well, his creators are Jewish. Leo DiCaprio, Clint Eastwood, re-teaming together. They did Jedgar, the movie about Jedgar Hoover.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
No one liked it.
Nope.
It was a piece of crap.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, fuck it. We're doing it again. Not a Jedgar movie, but they're doing another movie. DiCaprio has been working on this for a while. He wants to do a Richard Jewell film. The 1998 Atlanta Olympic Park bombing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's that cop that was working there, and yeah. he found
blame
the bomb.
For
yeah. And then the media blamed him, and yeah. then it wasn't him, and his life was ruined.
So he's going to jump in another fat suit for
I guess
Clint Eastwood?
He was a bit of a fat guy. Although, you see pictures of DiCaprio between movies, and when he's not taking care of himself, he's enjoying the fruits of his labor.
Right.
Let's just say that. He knows how to relax a bit and not spend every day doing crunches.
But wasn't that was part of the problem I had with Jedgar, the way he's, because of it was just too much prosthetics. I'm like,
and it looked horrible.
Yeah,
it didn't even look good.
It distracted you. It's weird. So if he does the same thing here.
Yeah, we'll see what the kind of makeup they do. Maybe they'll tone it down. Just let him act. Just get the essence of the Richard Jewell fellow. Don't worry about looking like him so much. As audiences, we always suspend disbelief when it comes to someone's looks as long as they nail the essence.
Yeah.
Have you seen the test footage that leaked online of Marlon Wayans as Richard Pryor?
So good.
No, I haven't.
Check that out. For a minute there, Adam Sandler was producing a Richard Pryor biopic because he gets $20 million max a year from whoever, like Sony or someone, to make whatever movie he wants every year. It's a new deal, and he wanted to make a Billy Madison production of the Richard Pryor movie, but it'd be a serious, straightforward film. He wanted to expand the scope of Billy Madison, right?
What a life.
Yeah, right? To be able to just like, I choose this. But it all fell apart because Marlon Wayans, I think, said some shit on a talk show that Richard Pryor's wife didn't like, so he was like, you gotta drop him, and I'm saying, I was like, that's not happening, and the whole thing fell apart. So
but
now they're doing it somewhere else. Yeah, the test footage is online. There's two scenes. One with him talking to a psychiatrist played by Omar Epps, who is now going to be Richard Pryor. Omar Epps is Richard Pryor. And then a scene of him doing a stand-up set, but like while he's all high out of his mind and shit.
I had to check that out because I can't see Omar Epps doing Richard Pryor.
I can't either. But then again, I wouldn't be able to see Marlon Wayans necessarily doing it. And then like he kills it. He's so good.
I mean,
so
I could see Marlon Wayans doing Sirius. He did.
Well, Requiem for a Dream shows
Requiem.
That he can do it.
He can fucking act.
It's been a long time since Requiem for a Dream. There's been a lot of white chicks.
There has.
Little Big Man. What was that one?
G.I. Joe also.
Oh boy.
You speak German? Russian, whatever it was.
And we mentioned the Mad Max movie, right? We're all excited.
That looks
for
that. So good.
Explosions, fire, sand. I'm in.
It costs at least $100 million, up to $125 million to make this R-rated movie. This is a movie for adults, people like us. Ostensibly, we're adults.
It looks like
$25
million dollars that was probably spent on gasoline.
Just gasoline. Yeah. The irony of a movie about the gas wars and water wars and all the gas, because they had to do all the shit in the Namibian desert.
Yeah.
We need to turn out, all of us, everyone listening, us adults, we need to turn out and support this movie because, again, it's not for teens, it's not for kids.
No.
Most of these blockbuster movies are for teens, and then we just watch them.
Right. And it's rated R, and there's not a lot of rated R
especially at this type of level, $100 million like blockbuster. The same thing with Guillermo del Toro's Crimson Peak. They gave him like $100-something million to make a straight up R-rated horror film, which is absurd, you know, because horror movies, R-rated ones, don't make that much money. So we all got to turn out for these to support them so they keep making them. Tom Hardy revealed that he has signed on to make 3 more Mad Max movies.
Wow. So, yeah, let's make this one good get them some money.
But he said they're only going to happen if this one makes money. No. So we can't just sit back and depend on the international markets.
You can't just watch it at home either. No. Yeah. That's not supporting.
Yeah, and don't be watching that shit on your phone either, guys.
Screen, big explosions.
It's not the type of movie where you want to, I'm going to watch this on my tablet.
Yeah, it's up to show up to the theater, pay your 10, 15 bucks, whatever it is, support the film if you want to see more. Because watching it at home or watching it bootleg is not supporting them. It doesn't make them make a sequel.
Yeah, exactly. That's how we don't get another Dread. We're not going to get another Dread. We're not going to get another. There's so many great movies that we could have gotten.
Never
going to
get another R-rated Punisher movie.
Never going to get an R-rated, because that did not make any money.
I don't know, man. Like, we were talking about, you know, in between.
Forgot to mention Deadpool. Yeah. Oh, I did want to mention Deadpool. Yeah. They did the only April Fool's thing I thought was cute. Did you see the Ryan Reynolds video? Did you see that?
Yeah.
And
Mario Lopez.
Yeah. And and they're like, so it's going to be PG-13? And then at the end of it, it's like, no, it's going to be rated R for sure.
And Deadpool's walking behind him. Yeah. It doesn't say a word, just walks behind him.
Picks up a TV and smashes him. And it's like, fuck you, Slater.
You're safe, Jesse. And Slater can't hurt you now.
Yeah, that was funny, right? And they has the picture, too. Yeah, the drawing.
Hand-drawn picture.
It's so funny. They said when they greenlit the movie that it's going to have a super low budget, like maybe $20 million budget top, something like that. Okay. And everyone agreed to make it for such a low number as long as they can make it R-rated. And then it came out, like, it was a little wishy-washy about whether it was going to be R-rated, PG-13. And then that video came out where they're like, no, it's definitely R-rated. Don't worry about it. So we're definitely getting a comic book movie for adults with that one.
And that's another one that you have to go see, because, I mean, I think that's huge. We were talking about this earlier, but I think it's huge because of, if it does well at rated R, then you have a bunch of other comic book movies that need to be R to be done well, and Punisher's one of them.
Yep.
A rated R Punisher would be amazing.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, the
Punisher Warzone.
Warzone is an intense movie.
It's good, but you need more of a budget behind it. You need more of a big-name star as a Punisher. You need to be bigger, and I think this could do it. And Spawn, another a Spawn film. You know, in a gritty rated R, it's not going to do well anywhere else.
Yeah. That's very true. So, with stuff like the Mad Max, you guys got to turn out. You got to see it supported. The Deadpool, that's February of next year.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah, so guys, there ain't even be nothing else. It's February. There's nothing else coming out that weekend. Yeah. Trust on that one. So just make your plans now to go see Deadpool. All right, here we go. Bring us to the end of the show. It is time for lightning round. You guys ready for that? Let's just go ahead and turn it up there.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Gotta get more sounds on that thing. Gotta expand the scope of the sounds. Lightning round time. Chico, sir, I have 10 questions here. We're going to fight through them. You give us your answers. We're going to learn a little bit about you, how your mind works. You ready for this?
Ready.
Drew, please start the lightning round clock.
Go.
Number one, where is the love?
In my pants.
Number two, where were you when the world stopped turning?
I was in bed with my hand in my pants.
Number three, can you tell a green field from a cold steel rail?
It depends how much green I've ingested.
Number four, have you ever seen the rain coming down on a sunny day?
Once, but my hand was in my pants. I didn't pay much attention to it.
There you go. Number five, all the lonely people, where did they come from?
In my pants.
Number six, how many roads must a man walk down before they call him a man?
About 3.5, and depending how many detours there are.
Number seven, why do fools fall in love?
Because they want their hand out of their pants.
Number eight, is there life on Mars?
I don't think so at all. That's a serious one.
Serious one. Okay. Number nine, who let the dogs out?
Woof, woof, woof.
And number 10, what if God was one of us?
He'd have his hand in my pants.
He'd have your hand in your pants. There you go. Time for some swag baggery. Sir, you got those two swag bags right there. You got the pink polka dot, green polka dot. Pick one. Which one do you want? Yeah, oh, there you go. Good eye there. Good eye. Give that to Drew. Drew's going to break it out.
Sir, you're another prouder of...
Da-da-da-da!
A bag of six lists. Holy chocolatey crap. Candy.
Holy shit.
My favorite candies that you can find anywhere. I don't know where you guys find these.
It's our secrets.
You're also the proud owner of Speed Shots Launcher. It's super fast. You can launch it. It's a car.
You can launch it. It's a car. You can launch it. Beautiful.
Also the proud owner of a wind-up butterfly helicopter. Okay.
This is going to get the most use.
Wind
up butterfly helicopter.
That's a strange one.
Absolutely. Wind up butterfly helicopter.
We also got you a copy of your favorite and mine, the Adam Sandler movie, You Don't Mess with the Zohan.
Don't mess with that.
That's awesome. That's a good film.
There you go.
Well, I don't mean good.
Talk about that. Good. Well, it's a good Adam Sandler movie.
You are also now the proud owner of a copy of Marvel Zombies versus Army of Darkness graphic novel.
Speaking of Army of Darkness.
Jesus, that's awesome.
Man.
And a whole bunch of stickers.
A whole bunch of stickers.
Best there. Swag bag ever.
So that's your swag baggery. There you go.
That's
awesome. So go ahead, Drew. Go ahead and pack that back up for him. Because now, Chico, you need to make a decision, sir. You can keep what's in the bag, or we can put the bag away. And you see that red and white box back there behind your Cogburn. You could take what's in the box instead. The decision is up to you, sir.
So, since I listened to the show, I'm always like, take the box.
Take the box.
What's in the box? In the box. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take the box. But there's a Marvel versus Zombies graphic novel that you just showed me.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I negotiate this, or is it
Yeah, take what's in the bag.
Or what's in the box.
Or what's in the box.
Can I take the Marvels versus Zombies and have to take a bite out of whatever's in the box?
Absolutely not, sir.
Nope.
Tough decision,
I'm keeping the bag.
He's keeping the bag. He's keeping the bag. Good job, sir. Well, enjoy the comic book. Enjoy the toys. You will never know what's in the box because we will throw that in the incinerator like we do after every show and get a new box with new stuff in it. So it's always a mystery for here on out.
It's getting to be quite an expensive mystery too, Chris.
That's
yeah, I know it is expensive.
Depends how much nice stuff you guys are putting in the box. Oh, man. If you guys are putting like high-end electronics
Blu-ray
in there,
players and like brand new MacBooks.
You'll never know what's in
I'll never
box.
Know now, but you guys are you guys might want to find a pawn shop.
Etchy turned out a puppy. There was a puppy in there. You know?
We had to incinerate it.
And then incinerate the puppy.
Yeah. Seriously, start putting the box stuff on Craigslist. Just don't associate it with the show, but make your money back, guys. Come on.
Gotta be careful with that Craigslist. Thank you so much for coming on, sir.
Thank you guys for having me.
Drew, sir, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sir.
And we will be back next week with episode 118 of the show. So remember, support those R-rated movies. Do not invest your money in banks or with stockbrokers because they are evil. And go to the beach as often as possible and enjoy yourself.
Dig it.